Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop,
acknowledge me!
Episode 389 of Top Rope Nation, a Sunday morning here with you to talk AEW All In. A little bit of WWE Saturday Night's main event at the end of the show as well. We'll hit on what happened with Seth Rollins last night. Any late breaking news on that as we talk about pro wrestling this morning. But I think most of it's going to be centered on what was an awesome show from Globe Life Field down in Arlington, Texas. Justin Joint, I had the opportunity to watch this one with you live yesterday, our friend Jay, some of our children. We had a blast. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I somehow feel a combination of full from just one of the best shows I've ever watched. And I'm also like just feel exhausted from watching one of the best shows I've ever witnessed. All I did was sit in your basement for 6+ hours and watch wrestling and eat junk food. But man, it's incredible. You know, this thing that we have here and being able to share it together. Wrestling is, it's so weird, man, how, it being basically Broadway plus sports, guys wrestling each other in underwear, and just the way it can bring us all together and the community we have, it's a beautiful thing, and I love it, and I just feel great.
Justin, should we just throw out what we were talking about last night and fate and pro wrestling and our friendship and all of that for all the listeners?
Yeah, man.
Do it. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show. It kind of gets into the genesis of this podcast and the website that predated the podcast and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it going back to my point of the community and sharing this, we worked together years ago and then drifted apart. I left that job, went somewhere else, and basically had no contact for years and years, and just randomly, because of our love of Mexican food, we ended up at a Mexican restaurant, ran into each other. I think we were the only people there, us yeah. and our wives, or future wives at least. And through that, I jumped in with your Top Rope Nation doing a little writing for you. But I got to give you all the credit, man. Like, you reignited my love for professional wrestling, and it just started growing and growing. And we kept bringing in these amazing people to share it with, like Kyle and Jesse and all the guests we've had on here and all the amazing fucking people we've had the privilege of getting to know through this podcast in the Facebook group. And, getting to watch it getting to watch this kind of show together with friends, like you said, like Jay and Tim, yesterday, and it just wouldn't mean dick without the community that, you've grown and we've all grown together, and it's connection and it's love and it's all in 2025, man. It's fate. It's so cool.
I cannot top that. Well said. Well said. It is all fate. Like, the fact that you and I walked into that restaurant at the same time. I mean, this was 13 years after we stopped working at that job that we had together in like 2001, 2002. And then we were like, hey, we should hang out again. We started talking pro wrestling. And then I started the website shortly after that. And a couple years later, the podcast, and met Kyle. And then you stepped in for Kyle when Kyle did a break for a little bit. And then all three of us. And then Jesse is fate too, because I was just talking to Megan about this, my wife, when we hung out with Jesse on the way up to Minnesota this past week. And I'm like, oh, so how did you and Jesse meet again? I'm like, well, believe it or not, Jesse won a drawing we did to give away the All Out 2021 pay-per-view as we were trying to grow our YouTube subscribers. And he legit won the drawing randomly. And then when I messaged him to get his information to buy the pay-per-view for him, he told me about his podcast, which was on Blue Wire Hustle at the time when we were on Blue Wire. And so then we started talking, oh, we should collaborate. And then eventually Jesse's here on the show. So like he won a drawing, which got our friendship growing. Justin, we happened to walk into a restaurant at the same time in our community of, you know, 150,000 people or whatever. It's just wild how fate works out and it all comes together so we can all share this love of pro wrestling. And as you said, you threw out a lot of the names, all the cool people we've gotten to meet and doing this show, the community, the Facebook group. It's really, really awesome to share all of this with everyone. And Jesse, it was awesome to see you this week, sir, as we went to Boca Chica for the first time together. And it was excellent. Speaking of Mexican food, how are you doing this morning, Jesse?
I'm so happy you made it up there and you got a chance. When you said it was the best Mexican food and maybe margarita you've ever had in your life, my eyes about popped out of my head. I was very thankful. So yeah, Justin, everything was extremely well said. And I was going to say, we're going to be eventually doing a show talking about the history of Top Rope Nation on Unplugged here, probably within a couple of months once we get to settle down here and go over the entire origin story, but you just started it. So yeah, that's really good stuff. My viewing experience yesterday wasn't as lively as yours. I started watching very late and unfortunately I got through about 80% of it all. But from what I saw, obviously I enjoyed it and I saw the most important parts. So the culmination of a new heavyweight champion and a new era in AEW.
I got two things here. Number one, going back to the idea of community, you know, it keeps us all together in, because you want to know what everybody's thinking about certain things. And there have been numerous points in the last decade where I very well could have checked out, but whether that's, you know, Kyle leaving and me needing to step up a little bit and maybe play a bigger role, or just maybe not being all that much interested in the product and wanting to leave. But like, you want to keep coming back. You want to be there for your community, you know, and it just ties us all together tighter, you know. The other thing, I am incredibly insulted, Ryan, that the best Mexican food you've ever had is Boca Chica and not the 6-pack and a pound of Taco John's I brought to your house yesterday. That is bullshit.
That did hit the spot quite well. I will say it's been a while since I had Taco John's. If you're longtime listeners of Top Rope Nation, you know Taco John's was Kyle's favorite, and we would often jokingly mention on the show that Taco John's needs to be a sponsor of this podcast. And Justin showed up to my house with the 6-pack and a pound and his son yesterday, and that was pretty incredible. Jay sent me this text this morning I got to read, and I promise we'll get to the show, you guys, but we're feeling it in the feels, you know, mm-hmm. here this morning, as Carl said in the chat. Jay said, thanks for all in yesterday. It's been a minute since I hung out in a basement for 8 straight hours eating Doritos, Taco John's, and cookies. Heck of a day. There it is.
Oh, man.
Dante checking in this morning, our good friend and patron of the show. He says, first, great to see the trio on screen. Second, I had to see the show live. Didn't want to wait till physical therapy tomorrow. Appreciate you, Dante, checking in. Hey, good morning to everybody. Good morning to your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Hangman Adam Page, and the main event of All In. We talked about it a lot. We've been talking about it for months. Would Hangman Page capture the AEW title? I got to say, it lived up to everything I was expecting. We were high-fiving in the group that we watched it with when he won. I got to say, I mean, I think probably my match of the year right now. I've watched it twice. I watched it a second time last night also. Just as good the second time. We'll get into the details, but I mean, well executed all around. I think the right guy to defeat John Moxley. Mox was awesome in this match too. Paid off the storyline. And to say it was the match of the year, I mean, they had Ring of Honor. Bandito and Takeshita had a match of the year contender the night before. And I mean, this is a pay-per-view, by the way, that, you know, looking up and down this card, how many, I mean, 4+ star matches. We're looking at probably four plus star matches on the show. I haven't done my grades for our patrons yet, but I think four matches are going to come in over 4 stars. It was a hell of a night. Oh, how are you feeling with Hangman Page as your new world heavyweight champion, Justin Joyen?
There's no doubt he is all caps the guy, as we've been saying for a while now. Not only is he the guy, but he was the guy who breathed new life into this Death Rider storyline that felt like it was dying, that it was hanging on by a thread by the time we got to like Moxley and Copeland at Revolution. He made it feel more important than it had in, you know, any previous point leading up to that. And it was just, I mean, to me, it's just everything was executed perfectly. I know a lot of people have issues with all the gaga and shenanigans and the run-ins, but everything made sense. You know, this wasn't Undertaker just randomly popping up, you know, in the main event of WrestleMania 40, not to, you know, bring in the other company into what should just, this is AEW, man. This is the culmination of putting all the pieces back together that felt completely shattered and broken like a year ago, 2 years ago. And, you know, to rip off their saying, but the feeling has been restored. And the number one reason is Hangman Page.
Yeah. We got a super chat rolling this morning from John Hope. Appreciate you, John, for the super chat. John says, All In was amazing and made me remember why I love wrestling. Listening to you guys makes me proud to be a TRN Patreon. Best pay-per-view so far this year.
Yes.
Thank you, John. Yes. To me, it was. You know, there's a lot of talk out there about the length of this show. 6 hours. I was not expecting it to be that long. You know, we were communicating with our wives about when the show might get over, trying to coordinate dinner time and everything. And at first, I'm like, yeah, probably 7. And then it was getting later. Like, it's going to be 8 o'clock. And I haven't fact checked this. I saw the comments out there that longest North American pay-per-view surpassing WrestleMania 39. And I got to tell you guys, we reviewed WrestleMania 35 on this podcast back in 2019 live after it went off the air that night. I practically had to drag Justin and Kyle to their computers to make them do it. Nobody wanted to do that show. It was a long pay-per-view, mostly bad. And last night, if we would have done this podcast, I would have been ready to go. Like I was hyped up from watching that show. It was just a totally different feeling. And at this point, I want to bring up a comment that our friend Tim left on the Facebook group this morning. I told him I was going to feature this in the show. He said, I keep seeing the show's too long or it's 5 hours complaints, and it really is starting to bug me. We live in a world where we get less and less for our money these days, and this show was beyond worthy of the $50 price. We used to get 3-hour pay-per-views from WWF and WWE for the same amount and maybe get one or two good matches. Well said.
Yep.
I think. I mean, they always give you their money's worth. Dustin Rhodes said in the press scrum last night, nobody does pay-per-view like us. He repeated it. It's true. No, I mean, I can't think of a bad AEW review, you know, like I don't want to come across like I'm standing for this company, but it's true. They always deliver on pay-per-view. We've criticized their television several times over the years, but when it gets to pay-per-view, man, these shows are always phenomenal. And yes, John, to me, it was my best. It's my number one pay-per-view so far this year. What about you, Jesse?
I'm going to have to get through a couple more things. Like I still have not, the only match I have not seen from at any part of it was Omega Okada. So I still got to throw that into the mix. There were parts, like small parts where I could nitpick it. However, I think the rest of the show as a whole was excellent. I will definitely say that, yeah, Hangman is absolutely the right guy. Ryan, kudos last fall for calling that one out. He's the main character. He has the energy. And Justin made the points I was going to make about the interference in the Avengers Endgame stuff, which I just said on Unplugged that if I saw it, I would criticize it much like I did WrestleMania 40. It did all make sense. would I have liked it to be a little bit different? Yes. However, what I will say is that the Death Riders have always been involved in Jon Moxley's matches. That's been the modus operandi for the last, what we're looking at, 10 months. It's been Claudio. It's been Wheeler. We've seen Marina Shafir. I actually loved Marina's inclusion in this match. I thought that she added a little extra element to it. So that part was great. The violence, holy cow. Like, it, from the get-go, the fork and the that, it was like, I watched that at 1 a.m. and I saw the blood immediately spurt from his forehead and my eyes about just popped out of my head.
We were like, screaming when that happened. We were, oh my God.
This dude is nuts.
Yeah, it was insane, dude.
This was Moxley's by far best performance as an AEW world champion.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Mm-hmm.
So is it match of the year contender worthy? Absolutely. Is it my match of the year? I got to watch it one more time because I can't be viewing it with a straight lens at 1 o'clock in the morning, very tired from a long day, 2 hours of a bouncy house and keeping a 4-year-old occupied all by myself. So yeah, I'm super happy and looking forward to seeing where the direction of the company is going. And I also thought like those little sprinkled in spots with two returning performers, one on a part-time basis, one on a full-time basis, was done correctly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, to the point of the interference, again, it all made sense. It was all in the Death Riders universe and all the people that have been surrounding them in orbit throughout the last several months. You know, you get Darby Allin appearing on the screen, cutting a promo on Mount Everest. Peak, pun intended, pro wrestling. I mean, my God. And then you get Bryan Danielson coming out there with a mask on, setting that place on fire, cleaning house.
Doing the yes chant immediately after supposedly, apparently being told by the other corporation to stop doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And showing his absolute love for Blue Panther with the mask. Like, yeah. That has to be his favorite wrestler of all time.
Yep. Yep, you get that. I mean, when Marina went over to grab the briefcase and she gets handcuffed and Nana comes out from underneath the table, that was incredible. I did not see that coming at all. You know, obviously getting Swerve out there at the finish, that tense face off with Hangman and then handing him the chain was just well done. I mean, uniting the big store. I mean, that's the big rivalry, the promo they did on Collision. Justin, you were talking a lot about that, you know, yesterday and how it made you a little uneasy on which way the match could go. It paid it all off, man. It all was logical, you know, and in this situation, all the run-ins made sense because the Death Riders always do that. And all these people are connected to the story that the Death Riders are telling. And in the finish, you know, we could talk about the crazy spots. You know, there was the nails, there was the tables, there was the glass, there was the fork that you mentioned, all this stuff. We knew it was going to be insane. But the way Jon Moxley sold the chain and the hanging over the top rope was incredible. Like probably the best selling of Moxley's career. And I saw the point made where, you know, like in the end, Moxley, a guy who portrays himself as being tougher than everybody, yet he's always surrounded by these guys that help him. In the end, he's left all on his own and he's a coward. You know, and he sells it that way. He's freaking out. His eyes are practically popping out of his head as he's squirming and squirming. And then he taps. It doesn't get much better than this.
It was perfect. Like, to me, everything about this match was perfect. And I had this moment of panic when Hangman was trying to open the briefcase and it looked like either the key didn't work or maybe the briefcase was like smashed just right so that he wasn't going to get it open. And he like, it looked like he, you know, he was crying and I had this like, of course, this is going to happen now on the biggest show with this perfect match. And now this stupid thing is going to happen where they can't actually open the briefcase and they're going to have to like spend all this. But no, he just slowly opens it up, pulls that beautiful belt out and displays it for all the fans. And it was just, everything was perfect about it.
Which still had Brian's side plates on it too. A great little detail.
Yes. Yeah. I got to say, I don't know if this has ever been, I'm not quite the historian as maybe you guys are for professional wrestling, but while the Death Riders angle very much had its ups and downs. It started off brilliantly and then went into a major lull, kicked back in this spring. The idea of locking away your world title and keeping it away from everybody and so nobody can see it, to me, it's going to go down as one of the all-time greatest wrestling angles ever. To have your big baby face fully cement himself by showcasing it to the world, fucking brilliant. Sorry for the cursing.
I mean, it is the best looking championship belt in pro wrestling. I'll just put the screenshot up there. And when the crowd finally saw the belt again, they popped massive for that. Yeah. I mean, it's been what, 9 months or something since we've even seen the belt on television. There's Hangman holding it up at the end of the show. Yeah. I mean, the payoff was exquisite. Jesse, any thoughts?
He's four different shades of color all over his body. He was like white and just his tan and red and a little bit of purple, pink. I mean, there was it just showed. And I think him losing it at the end was a fantastic touch of, I think, summarizes all that he's gone through from the time that he lost the championship at Double or Nothing in 2022, when I think deep down he maybe saw that he was potentially maybe losing favor, I think, backstage, specifically with Tony Khan, when a certain someone was there and won the championship off of him. And then for him to maybe in his terms resurrect his time there in AEW and just everything that he's gone through ever since and the culmination of it all and how hard he worked to get here and to rescue the company from where it's been the last 9 months was incredible. So I was, again, the presentation, like Justin said, was absolutely tremendous, top to bottom. And well worth that 45 minutes that that they put into it, too, because there were a lot of these matches that I felt could have been cut a couple minutes down. But this one deserved every single minute of it. There wasn't a single second wasted.
Yeah. Carl's got some good chats here I want to feature. So Carl said, not a fan of the deathmatch style, particularly in a promotion that does overdo the hyper-violent matches. But the story going into the match and through the match itself was as good as you will see. And then he said, the pro to the length of the show total was it allowed things to breathe, which isn't usually the case with AEW. That said, they could have trimmed an hour off without impacting the show quality. And then Robert, checking in here, appreciate you watching, Robert, says, it was the longest pay-per-view of my life, but I loved every minute of it. Yeah. Speaking of the entrances, John shouted this out. You got Hangman's old theme and some cool camera work, too. Where at first the camera like looks to the heel side and then shoots over to the right side. And then Hangman comes out the babyface side, you know, for the first time in a long time. And he's got the old theme song. That was pretty awesome. I saw a lot of talk on social of would he go back to the old theme? And I like the dark theme. I think I played out our last week's podcast to that theme. It was growing on me, but I really like his babyface theme. So I like that now kind of like the character transformation has come full circle. He's back to the old theme and where he used to be. I also got to say Hangman, I think most people in pro wrestling, we know there's a couple of exceptions, one in particular, but most people in pro wrestling have nothing but good things to say about this dude. And when he went out there at the press scrum afterwards yesterday, just he did most of it in character, but there was like elements of reality blended into what he was saying, and it just comes across just so authentic. I mean, he was practically in tears at times. Him and Tony embraced. They told each other that they loved each other. It's worth watching, you know, and he talked about all the trials and tribulations over the last few years. And we know some of that's on screen and some of it's real life too. So in the end, I think it was hard to not be happy for this guy and you know where he is now. As the standard bearer of this company, I said it since last fall. You said it, Jesse, a minute ago. He made the most sense to end this reign. You know, he's one of the pillars of the company and everything that his character has gone through to get him to this point. It's the ultimate, like reaching the mountaintop once again. And we'll see where this reign goes. But it's sure starting off on good footing. Go ahead, Jesse.
Well, I was going to say it's interesting how Will Ospreay was taken out in the very beginning of of all of the interference shenanigans, and also with Samoa Joe being put on a stretcher in the early on stages, just kind of setting up that Hangman was going to be starting at a deficit when the match began. And he would need a little bit of assistance because we knew what was coming. I like that touch too.
Yeah. Yeah, stretchered him out after taking that pile driver. Yeah, I mean, again, the interference made sense. I think the match was incredible. It's after two watches, I was pretty certain I'm going to give this one 5 stars. I think that's a 5-star match to me. And I rarely give out 5, but this is, I think it's a 5-star.
It's getting 5 humps for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of talk here about attendance and AEW building up their building up some momentum again. I'm seeing in the chat room they did not announce an attendance last night, unless I missed it, but Tony was asked about it in the press scrum and he made it sound like it might come in close to 30. We know that according to WrestleTix, they were getting close to 26,000 just before the show. We don't have like the final walk up numbers. Of course, there's going to be comps on top of that, media members, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think my original prediction, you can go back in the archives when this show was announced, I said, I think they'll do 25 to 30. And it looks like that's where it's going to come in. I think that's a really good house for them here in North Carolina. They have run Texas a lot over the years, too. I mean, it is a market that outside of Chicago, which obviously they've saturated and run nonstop over the years, Texas is probably right there. They run that Texas loop all the time. And still, I mean, we know they do a big traveling audience for these pay-per-views too, but man, that is a hell of an attendance. It's the biggest North American attendance non-WWE since like the heyday of WCW. Would it have been nice if they get 40,000 in there? Yeah, but it looked great on television, and that's a huge house. That's a big house. So
I think that's the key, is that it looked like way more than what it was. Now I do think if you want to nitpick the show, the issue is with that big of a stadium and that amount of people is that the sound really got lost often with the matches where it sounded like you could hear a pin drop at certain parts of the show. So when the fans weren't into something, it was very obvious. Now, when they got loud, and that was great, but yet all kudos to the AEW production team. The stadium looked like $1 million. The show looked like it looked like a WrestleMania. You know, they really pulled it off.
Yeah, the stage was phenomenal. I talked to some people who were there. They said it was loud throughout the show. So I think part of that is just how it was mic'd, but also just being in a stadium where the sound just tends to just go straight up. And it appears quieter watching on TV than it actually is there live. So... yeah. Anything else on the main event before? We're not going to be able to have time to run through like the details of every match. So I think we can just kind of skim through the card and talk about any big points that you guys want to make as we go. But obviously, yeah, we are big fans of that main event. I do want to say if you're tuning in live right now, you guys, and you're not subscribed to our channel already, please take a moment to do that. If you can hit that like button, that would also really help us out in the YouTube algorithm. So like this video here on YouTube. And if you like podcasts, you can find this show on the podcast streams, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, et cetera, Amazon, all of that. You can find Top Rope Nation there as well. And if you want to support us even more, you can become a patron of the show. You can find the link here in our broadcast description. I'll put the QR code up here real quickly. There it is. Covering up Jesse. Sorry, Jesse, but that is the best way to support Top Rope Nation. Bonus shows every single week, over 200 bonus podcasts available. The minute you sign up, you can get a 7-day free trial, I do believe, but all full access to all the bonus shows with a $5 per month pledge. We just put up a 2-hour show on WCW Beach Blast 92. That was the latest edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. So you can check that out. You can get access to TRN Unplugged, Jesse's bonus show over there every single week, TRN Extra, which is one I do as well. And when we reach 50 patrons, Justin will be launching his own show called Meet the Nation, where he will interview Top Rope Nation fans and patrons, which would be a lot of fun. So if you join up and get us closer to that goal of 50 patrons, I think we're mid-40s right now, something like that. So get us closer to reaching our goal and launching that new bonus show.
And we are at a 100% success rate when it comes to the patrons that we currently have. So we thank you so much for your support. And Matthew and Robert, thank you for finding us. Brand spanking new. We appreciate it. And all of our usuals, Carl, Chris, and Alan. I saw you as well, Dante.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we start at the beginning then, real quickly, and just work our way forward? We wanted to start with the main event. Let's go to the beginning. We'll finish here with Okada and Omega, which was in the semi-main spot. So, you know, there was a pre-show. I was kind of watching that 0 hour. They had, they had the Trios title match on 0 hour. Let's just start with the...
That opened the show.
Or no, that opened the show. Right? What am I looking at here? Yeah, that opened the show. That's right. I remember we were talking about... what would open the show, and the gauntlet was our prediction, and that ended up being the second match. Yeah, so we had the Ops defeat the Death Riders. I think I said this on the preview I did for BR, I didn't think the Death Riders would win here just because of the prediction that Moxley would lose the world title and not knowing what that would do for the stable, you know, long term. So I didn't think that they would move the titles to the Death Riders here, and that's what happened. The Ops retain. Justin or Jesse, you want to chime in here on any thoughts on the opener?
As many other people have pointed out, Samoa Joe opened the show. He opened All In. And when has that ever been an issue going forward?
Yeah, nothing happened 2 years ago or anything like that. Not at all. He's a steadfast opener for this company. Keep things on track.
Yeah, I mean,
people get out there for their match.
The match was solid. Nothing special. Just kind of did what it needed to do.
Yeah.
Fun to see Gabe Kidd get a little bit of shine here. I know he's going to go back for the G1 here next week, and he'll definitely be at Forbidden Door, but I would like to see more of an inclusion here. I do worry, that Gabe Kidd does sign with AEW. He gets stolen away. I'm going to also put that in parentheses because I really like his character, and he brings a different dimension to any promotion that he's in because he's so unique, especially in the New Japan side of things.
Yeah, we were talking about Gabe during this match a lot here, watching it. And some people are negative on Gabe Kidd, I guess. I think he fits the Death Riders mold perfectly. I know Justin does as well. And Jay was making he was constantly joking. I'm not sure that Gabe Kidd knows that pro wrestling isn't real. Just the way he carries himself out there. And he's great, man. I love the intensity that he has. He fits the mold of what a Death Rider should be. So yeah, that was the opener. Solid, nothing too special. Right result, I think. In the second match, which was the Casino Gauntlet for a future shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, we had, I'll just read through everyone that was in the match: Anthony Bowens, Bandito, Brody King, Josh Alexander, Juice Robinson, freshly shaved Juice Robinson, Konosuke Takeshita, Kota Ibushi, Mark Briscoe, Max Caster, Mystico, Ricochet, Roderick Strong, The Beast Mortos, and your winner, MJF. It was a fun match. I thought this one was a little long, though. I thought it kind of dragged at points. I thought the women's casino match was better.
Agree.
But in the end, I think MJF winning is probably the right call looking at the roster they had there. Justin, you made the point about maybe the roster not being up to par for this one.
Yeah, it got to a point where it just felt like it was kind of mid-carder after mid-carder, especially when you compare it to All In last year, which I don't know how they will ever top that Casino Gauntlet match. This definitely one of the weaker versions of this match, but it's still solid. You know, I agree with you. Too long, could have been cut down. Some of these guys could have been thrown to the woodshed. But you know, Juice is back. We did not get Eddie Kingston, which was a bit of a bummer. Gun Boys are back. But I think this is the theme of the show. The right guy won. You know, the finish was kind of what you wanted. Yeah. You know, made Mark look strong while making MJF look like a little shit.
Which is going to make for compelling television now that MJF gets to chase. He's been in this scenario 3 years ago, we were just talking about, too. So instead of chasing Moxley this time, it's going to be Hangman. We know that Hangman already has the one up on him earlier this year. So I'm psyched to see that. The Hurt Syndicate will be tied into it as well. Yeah, the match definitely drew on a little bit too long, but there really wasn't any other, I'm trying to think, outside of like an Eddie Kingston, like you said, who else would you have thrown in there to just liven this battle royal up? But yes, 10 minutes should have been shaved off.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Cool to see Juice. I've never been a huge Juice Robinson fan, but it's always great to see somebody fully healthy again, especially when we're about to talk something else that unfortunately is going the wrong way.
Yeah, no. Agree all around. John Hope says, biggest shock of the night was Juice without his beard. Noah checking in. He says, what's up, guys? I was in the building last night. What a freaking show. AEW is on fire. Yeah, I mean, yeah, outside of Eddie was the one that we really wanted. We thought Eddie Kingston might be in this. It would have been really cool to see him come out. But yeah, with MJF winning, kind of funny moment in the press scrum. Hangman was asked about this, and the guy who asked the question, I think, phrased it wrong, but he said something about MJF has your number. And
yeah,
Hangman like head snapped around. He's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He has my number. Like, he was offended. It's a pretty funny moment. But I mean, Hangman's got some strong heels lined up for him. Obviously, MJF, you know, they kept Okada strong here. Okada could be putting a program with him down the line here. Yeah, they got a lot of options. It's going to be fun to see which direction they go. But MJF with the contract is going to be the one that's kind of hanging there.
I do hope they change that contract where they move away from the money in the bank aspect of it and just make it like you have to call your shot in advance.
Yeah, Tony said he was going to clarify the rules with it here this week, I believe. Right. So they haven't said for sure.
Ricochet would have been an interesting winner, I felt, here too. I think that would have livened some things up, especially for what he's done the last 6 months. And then Takeshita is now going to be on excursion where I think Justin's trying to call his shot. I'll follow along. I have a feeling he's going to be in New Japan's plans for the next 9 to 12 months.
Justin also made the point, I think during the match, Justin, you said that you wouldn't mind a Hangman Ricochet feud.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be a solid kind of early title reign contender.
Yeah. In the TNT title match, which we thought was going to be Fletcher against Adam Cole, and everyone expected Fletcher to win, it was a real unfortunate moment. They announced during the afternoon that Adam Cole was not medically cleared and was not going to be able to defend the TNT title. So they vacated the title. They made it Dustin Rhodes against Daniel Garcia against Kyle Fletcher against Sammy Guevara. And they sent out Cole, had this extremely emotional promo, doesn't know if he's going to wrestle again. There's lots of speculation on what's going on with him. Although Tony did use the term injury in the post-show scrum, because I saw some of the other theories out there, but he did say injury.
I would be willing to bet it's concussion related. Yeah.
That would seem most likely. We don't have any confirmation, but it would seem that that's the case. They said that he started feeling bad, I guess, late Friday night into Saturday morning, and then they made the decision. So I booked this one on the fly, and you know, we were talking live that it would have been cool to see a little bit different roster here. We thought Brody King would have made sense in this match. You know, we were kind of questioning why Sammy was in the match, why Dustin was in the match. Garcia and Fletcher obviously made a lot of sense. But in the end, you know, I thought what they did with Dustin Rhodes capturing the TNT title, shocking everybody in a match went about 14 minutes, was a good way to kind of change the trajectory of the emotions in this match, because it was hard to get the crowd back into it. You know, right before the match, Cole does that promo. He's crying out there. It was a huge downer, no question about it. Everybody likes Adam Cole, regardless of what you think about his AEW run, which has been plagued by injuries. Yeah. He's one of the most well-liked guys in the industry, and it was such a downer. So to put the title on Dustin in his home state, an all-time legend, was a feel-good moment that, you know, kind of brought the crowd back, I thought.
Yeah, it really reminded me of the way Undertaker's streak came to an end at WrestleMania 30, how that just sucked all the air out of the room. And it took a while for the crowd to get back into it. I think it was very much similar to that, where they needed to speed up this match a little bit. They did kind of get them back. No, sorry, my boy just walked into the room. And now I have lost my train of thought. But I mean, okay, they needed to speed up the match. They needed to get to the finish sooner. But I think they called the perfect audible going to Dustin Rhodes. I would highly recommend watching the media scrum where Tony talks about Dustin's history with trying to get that TNT championship. And obviously, I think we can all agree that he is the best Rhodes to ever hold that title.
He is the best wrestler of the Rhodes family. To me, that I don't think that that's even debatable. I mean, this guy has been high level ever since the beginning. You go back, you watch his early 90s stuff like we just did with Beach Blast 92. I know, like, when he started, there's a lot of people talking about nepotism, Dusty's kid, all that. But, like, he quieted those people very quickly. He has been one of the most well-rounded, excellent workers in the industry for, like, three decades. Everybody respects him. Renee said last night she said that Dustin is her favorite wrestler of all time, and they had this cool moment in the scrum where they hugged. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a good feel-good moment. I think we all expect Fletcher to beat him for the title in short order,
and that should happen. That should happen. But I mean, getting to see how much it meant to Dustin as soon as the match was over, I mean, that just kind of it made those kind of icky feelings of Adam Cole, like, possibly not being able to wrestle again, and how much of a downer that was. You see why Adam Cole was so upset is because of how much this wrestling means to them and how much it means to Dustin Rhodes to be able to win that match and get that title in his home state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where else you could have pivoted there. I'm not going to yuck on everyone's yum. I'm just going to take John Hope's point into account here that Kyle Fletcher should absolutely squash Dustin Rhodes in like 2 or 3 minutes in a couple of weeks.
I doubt that will happen just because Dustin's so well respected. I'm sure he's going to want to have a good match with him because he can, and Dustin's a legend and all of that, but he should beat him pretty solidly. And I'm sure that's going to happen for sure. You're not going to see a 6 month reign out of Dustin Rhodes or anything like that. So, all right. We are going to have to breeze through the rest of these matches because I see we're already 40 minutes in at this point, 42 minutes in, and we got to get rolling here because I got some stuff to do. All right. Swerve and Ospreay. Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
I'm wondering, I would like to know if this match here was an audible, like maybe if it was going to be pushed, if it was originally pushed farther back on the card, but seeing how down the crowd was after the Adam Cole news, Tony kind of threw it in earlier to pick everybody back up because, oh boy, it did.
Swerve and Ospreay's match. Yeah. Yes. Swerve and Ospreay taking on the Young Bucks. They had a real, really cool moment where Bray Wyatt's widow, JoJo, came out and she sang Swerve's independent theme song first before he came out to his regular theme song. That was pretty cool. You had the Assassin's Creed entrance for Will Ospreay, and then the Young Bucks just pulling at my heart as a historian and coming out. We were joking about it, I can't remember how it came up. I think your son said something, Justin. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, didn't you know that the Young Bucks, they crossed the Delaware River one night? This was before they came out of the boat. And then like just seconds later, we were like, holy shit, they're actually doing
that. They're doing it.
I jokingly mentioned this. And yes, they come out in the boat like it's George Washington crossing the Delaware River to Trenton, December of 1776 on Christmas night. Unbelievable entrance. Just, this was so entertaining. Yeah, but Jesse, I'll throw it to you as our resident Will Ospreay expert, but this was a freaking outstanding match.
And completely tugged at my heartstrings for the independent song, Shaka Khan's Ain't Nobody. That's probably in my top 10 of all time, period. Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, got that one from really my father. Cool. So, ooh. Yeah, this one, I could almost argue it's my favorite just because everybody knows my bias behind probably all four of these guys, because I'm a big Swerve fan too, but connecting all the dots and just sheer athleticism, but also slowing things down for storyline purposes made all the sense in the world. And you got the entitled EVPs trying to throw their weight around and Swerve and Will fighting, knowing that if they don't win this, that they're going to have to be on the back burners for a year. And that would have made for some interesting television over the next year. Also could have played a role into what Hangman's going to be doing without those two moving forward. But yeah, tremendous match. Absolutely loved it. And high spots are definitely my thing. So I, yeah, definitely top two. Top yeah. two for me on the night.
Justin.
Yeah. I mean, it had some incredible near falls. Shout out to Dax Harwood for actually being the best of kicking out before the three, but there were certainly a lot of moments where you honestly believed that the Young Bucks were going to be the ones to pull it out, but solid match. Again, the only nitpick, too long. I think there's definitely parts of this they could have done without, but this is the most important I think the Young Bucks have ever felt in AEW. I think they're at the top of their game. It just goes to show again how AEW is just clicking right now. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward without the EVP powers, if you will. And that just, again, it's like, this show, it's the culmination, but also what's going to happen going forward. Like, I still want to watch Dynamite to see how things proceed.
Yeah, I think we all thought that getting the EVP stuff away from them on screen would be the right way to go, kind of end that. So that's what this does. I just didn't like the idea of taking both Swerve and Ospreay out of the world title scene for a year. If it was just one of them, I think you can make the argument, but both, that would have really hurt the product, I think. So I didn't think that they would go that route. So I thought that this was the right finish for sure. You know, overall, I'm not going to run through every spot in the match. There was a point where Ospreay hit the hidden blade on Swerve on accident. But in the end, they both hit their finishers at the same time. Wasn't it the hidden blade and the house call?
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yep.
And simultaneously to get the pinfall and to get the win. But yeah, it was a phenomenal match. It went about 26 minutes. Well worth going out of your way to see. The women's casino gauntlet, as I said earlier, was the better of the gauntlets. Mm-hmm. The roster included Athena, who won, which I think was the right call. Alex Windsor, Julia Hart, Chris Statlander, Megan Bain, Mina Shirakawa, Queen Aminata, Suri, Ty Mello, Thekla, Thunder Rosa, and Willow Nightingale. I think we all kind of thought Athena made the most sense. You know, she's been one of the best women's wrestlers in the industry the last few years, but a lot of people haven't been seeing her work because she's been in ROH for most of that time. So now hopefully send her fully onto Dynamite and Collision and eventually maybe winning the world title. Local gal too. We've talked about, you know, all the promotional work that she did leading up to All In. The crowd loved seeing her win. Right call all around. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with her on television, Jesse.
Yeah, 900 days plus is ROH champion. Enough's enough, and it's time for a change. You got to elevate her to the All Elite Wrestling main roster, get her on television more. And yeah, with the inclusion, chasing looks like Tony, that's going to be interesting. Athena plays the heel more on ROH than she does in AEW. So Alex Windsor making her either her debut or like a second or third match, her official debut. Of course, she's Will Ospreay's fiance.
Jay brought this up last night. I had totally forgot about this, but I believe she wrestled last June at a Dynamite that we went to on the Rampage taping and the build up to Forbidden Door.
Yeah, I knew, like I said, there she'd made a couple of appearances there. I think Will made mention of it that she'd officially signed, and it's cool to see. But yeah, I think there's only a couple other ways you could have gone, but no, Athena was 100% the right one. Like Megan Bain would have been fine, I felt. I would have loved to have seen Willow Nightingale, but that might have tipped off what was going to happen with Mercedes and Tony a little bit later too, going the other way.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when we actually had Athena win, I thought, It made me think even more that Mercedes was going to win because I figured they'd run back that match. So I still was a little surprised. I had no idea which way they would go in that women's match. They could have gone either way. We'll get to that one here in just a second. But Justin, thoughts on this one?
Right person won. Athena, huge pop coming out, huge pop winning the match. Willow also with a pop of the night too. That's my main thing coming out of this, is wanting to see what they do with her. They need to elevate Willow to a top of the card.
Yeah. All right. Then we get the three-way tag team match for the tag titles. Hurt Syndicate, Jet Speed with Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey, and the Patriarchy, Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. You know, I thought the only way that they would switch the titles here would be if MJF ended up costing the Hurt Syndicate the titles and they went with that split. They didn't go that route. We got something else, a different twist to all of this in the end of, you know, the match itself. I don't know. It was fine. It didn't really stand out to me at all. It really served as a vehicle in the end to bring back Edge or Adam Copeland and to start the storyline with Christian Cage. But Jesse, any thoughts on this match?
Definitely a few minutes too long. Yeah. I think it went close to 20.
Yeah. So about 19.
Jeez. So yeah, it was something that was already stretching a little long, and knowing what was coming, they probably should have shortened it a few minutes, especially even afterwards with how everything went down and Adam Copeland posing before saving his friend.
Yeah. Yeah,
or frenemy.
Well, apparently they're still not very much friends, you know, with what we saw afterwards. But yeah, we were joking about that too. And you're going the wrong way on the stage, Adam. Why are you going over there to pose? Your friend's going to get his head bashed in.
And we'll see what it... Sorry about that.
You can take the guy out of WWE, but you can't take the WWE out of the guy. That's what Justin said live when we were watching.
That was Jay. Jay had that.
Or was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what it looks like moving forward with Copeland and Christian. Just with Christian in the heel dynamic and him getting beat up by heels, that's kind of, I don't know, just kind of odd to feel sympathy for somebody who's just been a total dick his entire AEW run.
Yeah. And that's why I'm glad that Cope didn't just forgive him on the spot. They do have to do a little bit more storytelling to actually get those guys back together. Obviously, there was the callback to when Christian did the go F yourself after we thought they were together, with Copeland doing the cheesy in a bad way, go find yourself. Oh man, that's just not good. But again, I'm glad they didn't just embrace and call it good.
Should he have told him to go find his smile? Would that have worked better? Yeah. The end of the match, Lashley hit Christian with a spear. They cover, they retain, and then it was all this post-match stuff that we're talking about. So basically, FTR had a face-off with the Patriarchy, and Nick Wayne ended up turning on Christian. He hit him with the kill switch. Kip Sabian jumps in there. They're all beating him up. Mother Wayne's over on the side laughing. FTR is joining in. He's about to hit him with the chair to the head, and then Copeland's music hit. He comes out with the spike 2x4, and he's cleaning house, and Christian and him stare at each other. Copeland gets out of the ring and says, go find yourself, and leaves. So we'll get the Edge and Christian reunion down the line, but this kind of starting the ball rolling for that. All right. Then we get to the women's title match. Toni Storm defending the AEW women's title against Mercedes Moné. And yeah, like we said in the weeks leading up to this, we had no idea who would win. It was the marquee match to do. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a phenomenal match.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, Tony retains. The match had some memorable moments throughout.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah. Tony going to town on Mercedes in a clip they put out there on their social media. Some kissing in the ring, you know, Tony playing head games throughout and all of that. Jesse, surprised by the finish at all? Right choice?
I was really surprised. And just the whole dulling of finishers, three Storm Zeros in like 5 seconds and Mercedes gets up a two. I did not like that at all.
That was, yeah, I could nitpick that too. That was odd. I mean, I guess they're setting up the ultimate finish, which is the Storm Zero off the ropes, which was a pretty eye-popping spot. That was pretty incredible.
Yes.
Tony was asked about it in the post-show scrum about, like, you know, when she had the idea for this. And basically they wanted a long answer out of her of doing the move. And she was just like, meh, I just wanted to do it. Don't have any other thoughts other than that.
Yeah, I could see two Storm Zeros and spacing it out a little bit, and then maybe Mercedes getting up at two. But yeah, that was just a little bit too rapid fire for me. I felt these two had really good chemistry in ring, so it was super fun to watch. The match went a lot faster than the 26 minutes showed. Mm-hmm. So was it the right winner? Well, I don't know. I personally thought Mercedes was going to win, and I think if anyone is going to hand her first loss, why not Toni Storm? She's the hottest character on the women's side in all of professional wrestling. So it never, ever hurts to have her do it. And maybe that's going to mean something more for Athena down the line, maybe taking the title from Toni as opposed to Mercedes Moné.
Yeah. John Hope with a great chat that I'm not going to put on screen, but yes. I thought if I had push comes to shove, I thought Mercedes was going to win. But Toni beating Mercedes, I'm totally fine with. Justin.
Yeah, this for me, of all the matches on the show, this was the biggest toss up. No idea who was going to win. To Jesse's point, I think this is kind of a to be decided as to who, if the correct lady won, because that's going to have to see how it goes forward. To me, this was the best or second best match of the night. I thought it was phenomenal. The kicking out of the three Storm Zeros does not bother me at all because, one, I don't think that's a very good finisher to begin with. And Mercedes is a huge deal. So protecting her in her first AEW loss is not an issue that I have ran into. And it set up the big finish with the second rope Storm Zero. So I love this match. You know, it had the right kind of intensity to it. It had a big match feel. And these two ladies are just, again, locked in right now. I mean, I still don't understand how this Toni Storm character actually works. Like, she is just so good at it and makes it so believable and fun. You know, you give this character to anybody else and it falls flat on its face, but she just makes it work. And yeah, excited to see where both these ladies go moving forward.
Such a wild card. She walks into that scrum after the show and Renee's like, oh, this one always makes me nervous. Never know what she's going to say. And at the end of the scrum, I know this wasn't on the show proper, and you're probably like, why are you talking about this? But I thought it was entertaining. She's like, let's talk about Renee's pants. And she had Renee Paquette stand up and show off her pants. And then Toni's like, I must have you now. And she picks up Renee, and she carries Renee out of the media room. She's just gone for the rest of the time. Toni is so good. She's so good.
Like her promo on Thursday night, talking about Texas with steers and something else. And she's, well, I'm definitely one of those.
Is that the line from, is that Full Metal Jacket? I can't remember, but that's the famous line. The only thing that comes out of Texas is steers and something else. Yeah. The drill sergeant says that. Oh man. Yeah. It was, I think, Justin, I might call this my second favorite match of the night. I mean, again, there was four matches I put over four stars. The one we're about to talk about, the women's match here, Swerve and Ospreay against the Bucks. And of course the main event. I was thoroughly sports entertained throughout.
Yeah.
The character work was phenomenal. Luther was good as always out there. Yeah. This was really good stuff. All right. Lastly, the AEW unified title with the continental champion taking on the international champion, Kazuchika Okada, Kenny Omega. We know the storied history. We've covered their past New Japan matches on the podcast here many years ago. First time they have wrestled here in North America. They go 31 minutes. Okada ends up getting the fall over Omega. I thought Omega was going to win. I wasn't like super confident in that. I don't hate having a strong heel in Okada with your babyface champion, though, mm-hmm. You know, with Hangman here. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Jesse, I mean, you're a huge New Japan Pro Wrestling fan. Obviously, we've all seen the matches that they had over there, but, you know, I'm sure you're particularly fond of them. Thoughts on this one? Or is this the one you haven't seen yet?
It's the only one I've missed, and I'll just say one thing about it. I had wished that they would have used Continental Championship rules for this match, but that could also be alluding to what's coming later for these two down the road.
Yeah. They had a really good video package before the match, you know, kind of building up to all this for people who haven't seen their history. And, you know, they did that on TV too, kind of showing the backstory between everything, but it felt like a huge, huge match. Omega had the, you know, the Final Fantasy entrance and all of that for the big match feel. Justin, thoughts?
Tony in the press scrum said that because Okada won, that going forward, all these matches would be under Continental Classic rules where there will be no interference. So he actually even said that if Don Callis had done that under Continental rules, he would have been fired. A lot of people pointed this out, but the fascinating thing going into this match is kind of the history of late career rematches of classic rivalries. Like, how is this going to stack up against, you know, Flair Steamboat in 94, Misawa Kawada in 05, and Punk Cena just a month ago? And I would say this is easily a step below their previous matches, but it goes to show how awesome those matches are, that this is still easily a 4-star match at least. They're older, you know, they've lost a step. It's not as quick or as brisk as their previous stuff, but they're still laying the stuff in. They're still so smart at where to be in the ring at the right moments that everything still works. And that old man even factors into it, where you kind of feel every hit a little bit more and you get a little bit more worried about it. I think this match is better than those other classic rematches that I just mentioned by quite a bit, in fact. Mm-hmm. There's just no way that this was going to live up to the previous ones, but it was still amazing. This was my third best match of the night.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, if you've watched the other ones, and especially if you've gone back and rewatched them, you'll notice a huge difference in the speed of the matches. But that mm-hmm. said, like, you, I would agree, when you look to rekindle these old rivalries, this one still lived up to the hype. It was an awesome match. The crowd was super into it. You know, they basically told the story of Okada working over Kenny's midsection throughout, mm-hmm. you know, like, they're going back and forth early. But then Kenny goes for a moonsault. Okada gets his knees up, and then he starts just really working away at Omega's midsection with the diverticulitis history and all of that. There were some great near falls in this match. So it looked, you had Omega, I think he hit the one winged angel, and then Callis took the referee out of the ring, of course. And we were getting into it. We're screaming, "God damn you, Don Callis," and stuff. Aubrey Edwards, you know, ends up running out to take the place of the referee. But in the end, yeah, we get the Rainmaker and Okada wins. So again, like I said at the beginning, don't have a problem with this. Could have gone either way. Really, really good match. Not the best of their history, but I didn't expect that going in. I expected a really good match, and that's what we got. Jim mm-hmm. Ross was on commentary. Justin, you predicted that live, that they were going to send him out there for it, and there he was.
Yeah, it was just good all around. Like, I think the perfect placement on the card, again, just for the fact of giving us scared babies a better feeling about Hangman winning, that they weren't going to close the show with two heels winning the big matches. So that was a relief to see, actually, Okada winning this match.
Yeah, we were for certain that Hangman was winning after this. There's no way they're going to have two heels close out the show winning.
As somebody who's watched a lot of the Omega Okada matches, I'm hoping that this one's as good as the third one was. So, I mean, that one was G1, and it was under, there's like 25 minutes. So maybe this one has a chance. So
believe
it
or not, that was my favorite of all of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I liked that it was shorter and it was a sprint. I think I said that on the show at the time. Mm-hmm. That I really liked the G1 match a lot. But
the 60-minute draw was my favorite.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it at that level. It's a step below for sure, but it's coming in at least 4 stars for me. So yeah, that's all in. We hit every match as quickly as we could. We didn't talk about the 3 pre-show matches, but in the interest of time, I got a couple other topics to hit, and then we got to hit the road, you guys. So Saturday night's main event, Justin was thrilled to watch this one. I don't think he watched it. I don't think anyone watched this except me.
Not a second of it.
And Ryan Huffman.
Ryan Huffman watched it.
All those Ryans, let me tell you, I'm sure Kyle Ryan did too.
I breezed through it this morning. I couldn't watch it last night. I just going from All In to that show. I mean, look, they're totally different feels to the products. It's just a different product. They had a big crowd in Atlanta. AEW bled into the start of that show. I think an hour of it ended up going head to head. That was WWE's choice. WWE booked the show to go head to head with All In, or the tail end of All In. No, I didn't watch NXT Great American Bash. It actually went head to head with All In. I apologize, but I did watch Saturday night's main event. And, you know, overall, other than the Seth injury, it's pretty much what you would expect going in. I can run through the results here just a second. Let's just talk about the Seth Rollins injury, because it happened like 5 or 6 minutes into his match with LA Knight. Obviously, Seth has had some unfortunate injuries in the past. He's tore his ACL, his MCL, his meniscus, basically everything he can do in that leg. And he did this spot where he did like a diving springboard front senton onto LA Knight. And his leg kind of like curled under him a little bit, but then he did a springboard moonsault right after that and landed on his feet. And it looked like his leg gave a little bit, and he immediately goes into the corner. And you could tell it's not part of the show. And he's talking to the referee. He's talking to a physician. And LA Knight, you know, not really knowing what to do. And ultimately, Seth decides to continue the match, but he immediately takes the fall and gets pinned. That was an audible. Rollins was going to win this match. It'd make no sense for Rollins to lose to LA Knight, but he knew he was hurt. He knew it was serious. So credit to him for taking the pinfall. In the moment, we don't have an exact update. People are speculating it's ACL. I don't know for sure. I haven't heard anything, but it was a legitimate injury, and Seth's going to be out for months. And this is significantly obviously going to alter what they had planned and creative with him being the Money in the Bank holder and all of that. You know, the faction that he's running right now, do they have someone else get the Money in the Bank? I don't know what direction they're going to go, but a really, really unfortunate situation with Seth Rollins. So, you know, we've at times on the show not been huge fans of what they've done with his character, but I think as a wrestler, we all enjoy watching him work. And this is obviously going to hurt the product. I've said on the show many times in the last few weeks that I like what they're doing with the faction, with Braun and Bronson and Heyman, and it's going to change the trajectory of that. So we'll have to see what happens, but it's legitimate. Seth's going to be out for several months, it looks like, unfortunately. Jimmy Uso challenged Solo Sikoa for the U.S. title. No surprise, Solo won. Lots of interference from Bloodline 3.0. Jacob Fatu gets out there. They have the Tala Tonga and Jacob Fatu face off. Whatever. I mean, all expected there. But yeah, Solo retains the U.S. title. If this is your cup of tea, Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre were out there. Yes, indeed. You got Jelly Roll with Randy Orton. You got Logan Paul out there with Drew McIntyre. I can see the excitement on Justin's face.
I was going to say, I could see him falling asleep.
And it's setting up the tag match for SummerSlam, where Randy Orton is going to team with Jelly Roll against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. And I got to tell you, from the show that we were just covering, this is quite the downgrade. I mean, they do the celebrity stuff. It is what it is. I can't imagine looking forward to seeing Jelly Roll wrestle, but if that's your cup of tea, there you go. Speaking of if it's your cup of tea, Gunther defended the World Heavyweight title against 58-year-old Bill Goldberg, who lumbered out there limping in his entrance before you had Gunther work over his leg with the knee brace on it throughout the match. Gunther did this face-off with Goldberg's son at ringside. Then, you know, the referee gets taken out by an inadvertent spear. This was Charles Robinson. So you get a replacement referee out there. You got Gunther using the knee brace on Goldberg. And ultimately, you know, Gunther did take the jackhammer at one point. I'll call that out. He hit the jackhammer and didn't injure him this time, like that catastrophe to The Undertaker a few years back. Actually got a clean jackhammer out there. But in the end, Gunther chokes out Goldberg. That's the finish. Goldberg did a post-match speech, like a retirement speech to the live crowd, and it was cut off NBC went off the air during the middle of it. I actually watched it. I watched on Peacock this morning, thinking like maybe they got the full thing on there. They did not. Maybe they'll put it out on YouTube. Maybe they already have. I don't know. I didn't look, but they cut it off on Peacock. They cut off his retirement speech. You guys know how I feel about Bill Goldberg. I had zero interest in this, but I watched it because I felt like I needed to watch it to keep this podcast honest. The match was okay. I mean, look, it wasn't Gunther's best match. Goldberg was limping all over the ring. He spent most of the match on his back. I've seen this talk out there, Goldberg's best match in years. Well, he hasn't wrestled in 3 years, but that's a really low bar. This is like a twosome star match. It was not good. It was just kind of there. They got the spots in. They got the face off with Goldberg's son. They got the jackhammer in. They got the spear in. They got the choke out. That's it.
Have we gotten any footage of Bret Hart in the truck cutting the feed to end the show?
Bret Hart's revenge. No, it was, again, I watched it. I wasn't excited about it. I was sure thankful that Gunther won and they didn't do a title change here. Goldberg looked his age to me. He was limping quite noticeably right from the start, right from when they did his entrance, you know, with the crowd coming, you know, all his buddies, Doug Dillinger was there, his son and everybody through the back doing the whole entourage thing. He was limping then.
And the match had to go a little bit longer because of LA Knight and Seth Rollins with the unfortunate injury. So I'm assuming they probably had to double the time.
Yeah, it was like a 13 or 14 minute match, I believe. Something like that. So longer than I expected, but a lot of it was Goldberg on his back selling. It wasn't like they did a lot of athletic stuff, nor did you expect that going in. So, I mean, it was fine. It wasn't egregiously bad or anything like that. It was just right winner. Atlanta crowd got to see their hometown hero one last time, and now we can move on, hopefully.
This is what 51% of the WWE universe wanted. You're welcome.
Yeah. So that's it. That's Saturday night's main event. I mean, we'll be talking about Seth and any updates on his condition moving forward. But, you know, as I said, it's legitimate. People thought it was part of the show, I think, at first. Although, you know, it wouldn't have made sense for him to just lose clean to LA Knight like that if it was part of the show. If you watch it, I mean, it's just he's off in the corner. He's talking to people. He says continue, and then he immediately loses. So, yeah, we got WWE Evolution tonight. We'll talk about that next weekend on the flagship if anything notable happens, or Jesse might cover it on Unplugged for patrons this week. That's it. It's a lot of pro wrestling to discuss in an hour and 12 minutes, you guys.
What I'm looking forward to for AEW moving forward is the change of Forbidden Door in the middle in between All In and All Out, so they can keep continuous stories within AEW, and the one-off is placed right in the middle perfectly. So let's hope that AEW can build on this momentum when in years past, there's been a lull from the summer till about October, November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Big shows on the horizon. Carl's talking about in the chat how Dave Meltzer was questioning if the injury was legit. I saw that on Twitter last night. I mean, according to Fightful, it's legit. According to what I've heard, it's legit. And I just can't even see a way you would make that work. It just doesn't make any sense the way it played out. Like, to just lose clean to LA Knight within seconds after the injury, it would make no sense. For everything I've heard, this is legit, unfortunately. And it sucks, because I've liked the character shift from Seth the last few months. And one of the best workers in the company. Now we're not going to have him, so.
Yeah, 85% healthy. Seth Rollins is better than 10 to 20. So hopeful for a speedy recovery. Ditto for Adam Cole.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, parting words this morning?
I love pro wrestling.
Me too. I love enjoying pro wrestling with all of you, all the listeners, the patrons, all the co-hosts here. We got a great community on Top Rope Nation. If you're not already a member of our Facebook group, get in there, search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion, join the Facebook group, become a patron, connect with us personally through Patreon, get the bonus shows, support what we do, or for free, just subscribe here on YouTube, like the video, subscribe on all the podcasting platforms as well. All right, guys. Well, hey, We watched a lot of pro wrestling yesterday. There's more tonight. We'll be covering it all with you in the days ahead. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed watching AEW and WWE last night. And we'll be talking to you all again real soon. Enjoy what is remaining of your weekend. Take care, everybody.
Peace.